everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking HR with the people who love HR. So let's get to our guests, because I think there's some lives going to be changed today in this conversation. So Stephanie Krieg, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Hi, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. If you would, introduce yourself, and then we will jump right into all this nonsense. It'll be fun.
All right. Well, my name is Stephanie Krieg, like you said, known as HR Chick, and founder of HR Culture Club, basically just kind of trying to change the landscape of human resources and culture and getting people into cool jobs with cool companies. So that's kind of the gist of what I do.
Nice. What is Stephanie? This is William, by the way. What is what's top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night?
What keeps me up at night? I would just say I think that there's a lot of people out there that feel like they have to work at a horrible place to work. I should say a not so great place to work, and it keeps me up at night. It bothers me. Also, too, I see a lot of people where they'll say work and fun can't be in like the same field, I guess. Work has to be separate than fun. And I think that really bugs me, because I feel like work can be fun. Like, just for example, in my own life, people ask me when I travel, are you traveling for business or pleasure? Well, I'm like, well, I do what I love, so it doesn't even feel like work. And that's kind of what keeps me up at night, is I want people to feel like they do what they love and it doesn't feel like work to them.
And with your blog and everything that you're doing, how are you trying to change that? Like, how do you know that you're being successful, I guess, is the question.
People quit their jobs. I'm just kidding. I don't know if there's a quantitative measure to tell how I'm successful, but I do think that one of the things that I try to think of myself as like a promoter, so I try to focus on what companies are doing well and trying to encourage other companies to emulate what they're doing. For example, a Quicken Loans has a great corporate culture value, which is ignore the noise. And I try to ignore what, you know, the negative things that people and companies are doing and try to promote the positive. Because I think there's a lot of great things going on, and too often, even in life, we just kind of focus on the negative things. So with my blog, I try to promote companies that I think are doing it right, whether it be, you know, they're Fortune's best company to work for, or, you know, they just do cool things for their employees that you don't see every day. I don't know if there's, like I said, a quantitative measure for that, but I just think that trying to, you know, inspire people that they don't have to work at a horrible place to work, that there's a lot of great companies out there.
How much of this is attached to, or what do you see in the kind of generations and kind of generational approach? Because I'm wondering that those that are listening to this that are boomers or Xers, et cetera, do they have the same feel, or is this something that you feel ish younger in one's career? Like, and I don't, no value judgment to any of that. I'm just trying to figure out if, is this a nice to have or is this a need to have? And or is this an approach that one has at a certain point in their career?
Well, I would have to hope that finding your life's passion would encompass all generations. I think that's really sad if that you're a boomer or, you know, someone who's, you know, just of a different generation and feels like that your work, you can't be passionate about your work. I ran across someone yesterday and you know, they said, are you alive? And I think that's kind of what passion and career and work should all encompass, is that we're alive, we're here for a purpose. And I don't think it's just limited to a millennial, I guess, if that's what you're going for, a millennial feel. Again, I would hope that everybody of all generations would want to feel inspired to do something that they're passionate about, and then they get paid for it. Like, that sounds awesome. I don't think that, you know, it's an age thing.
Yeah, actually, I'll paint you a picture. I think that, you know, first of all, and again, no value judgments addressed to you at all here, but, you know, when you're working a gig and you're passionate, but for whatever reason, you know, maybe even lose passion, et cetera, but they're paying you really well, I think, you know, I think it's harder Or I can see where some people would justify that, you know, if you're making six figures, your kids are in private school, you've got a house, two houses, lavish vacations, your passion's those things, and work becomes a means to the end. And I think, well, again, no value judgment. I'm not trying to say anything's right or wrong here. I'm just saying I can see how one could justify that I don't need to be passionate about the day if the end suits the, you know, my means, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. And I understand it. I'm going to take the opposite approach. I'm going to go a little Drake on you. So Drake says, I don't respect assumptions. I feel that same way. So I feel like some of the best things come out of the biggest failures. So sometimes taking a risk inspires you to do something greater than what you're already doing. And if you think that, you know, burying your passions deep down inside for a six-figure income is important to you and that's something that you value, then I have nothing but respect for that. On the flip side, though, maybe you leave your six-figure job and you get a seven-figure or an eight-figure job and you get to do something that you're passionate about. So I think that if you just look at all the negatives, like, for example, you use the word hard, it's hard to leave my job. Well, if you perceive it that way, it will be hard to leave your job. But perception, if you flip it and you say, I want a new challenge, I can make more money doing something that I love, you know, you take the opposite approach and you use different words, different verbiage, and you change the way you think, I do think that you could be inspired to do something that you could still take your kids and family on vacation for. And, yeah.
So, Stephanie, do you? I mean, what happens when people just bury? What do you suggest happens in a culture, company culture, when people just bury their passion and they're like, I'm going to do the job and I'm not going to really be myself, I'm just going to check the box? What happens when people do that?
I think more and more I'm seeing just, you know, as a trend is that when companies will start off at the flip side, so when companies do encourage their employees to be individuals, to take ownership of their position, I think the biggest thing that comes with that is you don't have an employee, you have a brand ambassador. So if your frontline employees are your brand ambassadors and they're the ones promoting your company when they're, you know, when they're on Vine or whatever, or they're the ones speaking on your behalf, I think that you have better than an employee. So when you get employees that just check the box, you lose that. You lose that element, and it's actually a marketing strategy. You lose that element of the marketing strategy. So you don't get people that are out there telling people about your products. You don't get people that are inspired to get other people to work for your company. You lose that element. Let's take Rackspace, for example, fanatical support in all that they do. So when you say that, it's not just about the company culture. It's a part of their brand. So you know that when you're calling in, you're not just talking to an employee, you're talking to a racker. I mean, it's powerful stuff. It's really, it's almost, if you don't have a brand or marketing strategy that you're proud of, it's a great way to, you know, get people on board and get a little bit of a marketing promotional thing out there for everyone to see.
Nice. Switch gears on you a little bit here. So do you get much pushback for the whole HR chick thing? Like from a brand standpoint, I can't wait to hear.
Well, do I get much pushback? No, I don't really get much pushback. The whole thing with that was I was trying to – so my company goal is that I have a vision of where I want to be, and part of my vision is I kind of want to be really big. And I thought of, like, Lady Gaga and, like, Beyonce. She's Sasha Fierce on stage. So they kind of have these personas. And I thought sometimes it's easier to have a little persona as opposed to being yourself. Plus, like I said, I have a whole idea of where I want to go, and part of that is HR Chick is going to go on a different path. But, yeah, HR Chick, do I get a little pushback? No. you want to know? No, not really. I've gotten a few hate emails, but that's okay.
Hey, you're on people's radar. If you don't get some hate emails, then you're obviously not good. Right.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, yes, I was super excited when I got my first one. I was like, thank you. I'm going to ignore this, but thank you.
So what's, to kind of keep going down that lane, what's something that you just want people to stop? just freaking stop doing it right now, because it literally, your soul dies a little bit at a time each time you see it or hear it.
For me, I think the biggest thing is stop doing the same thing and expecting different results. I know that's like supposedly the definition of crazy, but that's kind of how my blog, like just what I've been writing, it's kind of how it emerged, was I was just reading a lot of the same stuff. And I don't mean to, you know, mitigate what anybody's doing. It's just, it seems to be the same stuff over and over again. And I was like, I kind of wanted to start a new conversation. I was like, that's awesome. You know, that's great. I want to talk about something else. That was just kind of what where I went with that. So, yeah, I think with what I'm doing is just trying to, with what I want people to stop doing, is stop doing the same thing and expecting to be happy. example, you know, you go into work every day, you punch the clock, and then you're hoping that something will change. Well, you kind of need to change what you're doing, or, you know, change yourself a little bit. I think that's the biggest thing, is to change the conversation and start doing something new.
Well, definitely love all that. I'm all about all about the evolution, right? where do you you seem to be incredibly creative and put a lot of energy in making sure that everything stays very fresh, and you have, like, you don't do the same thing, you know, over and over and over again. Where are you drawing inspiration from?
So my girlfriend's calling me Nancy Drew, because if you want to find out any information, I'm like the ninja and I can find out any sort of information. So I've kind of always been an information superhighway person, where I just to keep myself active, I'm always on social media. I'm always, if someone sends me something, I'm checking it out, you know, reading on YouTube, reading blogs, reading articles, just tons of stuff. So just kind of what I've seen out there is just kind of like my own spin. Like if you ever see me in person, I'm always wearing something really bright and shiny, and I'm just kind of loud and over the top a little bit, I guess. So I guess my marketing stuff and the stuff that I put out there, especially on social media, is just kind of, I guess it's just an extension of myself. And the funniest thing is I do it really cheap too. But yeah, it was just an extension of myself, an extension of my personality, and an extension of all the information that I've gathered over the years, just being around in human resources and on social media, and just, I guess, being Nancy Drew.
Nice. So I want to get your take. This is William again. I want to get your take on Glassdoor. And what you think about Glassdoor from a transparency employment brand perspective?
I think Glassdoor is awesome. They're doing great things. I think that they need to, in terms of like an employee, like for example, when I write an article about a company, I do check them out on Glassdoor. I do think there's relevance in what people are saying. It's great too if you're going to get an interview and you need to know the questions. But I do think companies should put more mirror into Glassdoor, because it's kind of like Yelp for companies, right? You know, what are people saying about you? One thing that came onto my radar, especially through Glassdoor and then doing a blog for Blogging for Jobs, was candidate experience. And I know there's a company out there that measures, they do the candidate experience awards. But a lot of times candidates kind of fall through the cracks, because it's this gray area of you didn't get hired. So you don't really have a valid opinion, but you did go through the hiring process, or the interview process, I should say. So I think candidate experience is kind of big, and on Glassdoor you can find out a lot of, I guess, dirty stuff about companies based on the candidate experience, which I think is great. But yeah, I do think companies should know exactly what their Glassdoor rating, what people are saying, and just have a good feel, especially the approval of CEOs. I like how they do that too. Companies approve, or the employees approve of what the CEO is doing. It gives you a really good pulse on maybe some information that you wouldn't necessarily get out of your employees, especially if you're a not-so-transparent company, right?
Nice. I'm going to give you a magic wand. I want you to help individuals unlock their passion. So one of the things that I love your writing, by the way, but one of the things that it's assumptive of is that people have any idea of what their passions are, which, again, some of that is true, and some people are just clueless and they would never admit that, but they just don't know what their passions are. So individually, wave your magic wand. How do you help people unlock those passions, and then I want you to then do that for the company. So now you're the VP of HR, and you need to unlock those passions for your employees. How do you go about doing that?
I would say one of the biggest things is do some things you don't like. sometimes you have to find out what you like to do by doing things you don't like. For example, some companies I've seen, like Great Places to Work, they switch people's desks every 4 months, or you spend a day shadowing someone else in a different position, or you just take on a different role within the organization, or join part of, like for example, Intuit, they have a We Care and Give Back. So you join a We Care and Give Back program. I think there's a lot of opportunities like that where you just mix it up and you get people out of their comfort zone, because usually people can tell you right, like, I don't like that. Like, they can tell you right away what they don't like to do. And that actually gives you pretty good clarity on what you like to do. Another thing I read on BuzzFeed recently, which I think is awesome, is if you're doing something and someone of the opposite sex could walk by naked, someone who's really hot, by the way, could walk by naked and you didn't notice them, then that's something you love to do. So I think that if you take that philosophy into a corporate standpoint, and people are doing something that, like, they don't even notice that, for example, the CEO or someone famous walks by, they're finding stuff that they love to do. But I think the biggest thing is mixing it up and maybe getting people out of their comfort zone and doing things they don't like to do.
All righty. And for the individual, how, outside of doing things that they don't want to do, which I'm assuming that they're probably doing that already, if they're not in touch with their passions, what other advice would you give those folks?
I would say a couple of things. I mean, again, I think it goes back to mix it up. Like, you have to hang out with different people, join something, you know, volunteer. You have to do things differently. I think that really, really helps just changing, things change, I guess, and people resist change. But, yeah, I guess changing and mixing things up, like, for example, if there's something in your community, a project going on, maybe even a marathon, you cheer for people on the sideline, you're going to interact with different people, you're going to maybe establish a network, you know, outside of what you normally do. But mixing it up would be the biggest thing. Try to do something new.
All right. What's the role of HR and culture? Like, again, you have the magic wand at this point. So if you could script things, possibly even build things from the ground up, how would you instruct HR and culture to live together?
Well, HR and culture should be best friends, and they should talk and text every day. But HR is really you're of the people. I mean, that's the like core component of human resources. It's kind of a tacky name for being of the people. But human resources, you're there to serve the people. And I mean, culture is all about the people. So with my magic wand, like I said, make them best friends. But one of the things that I think that as an HR representative in a corporation, which is a lot of like big and corporate words, I guess, you could change the way you talk. I hear a lot, I don't like this to say this, but I do hear a lot of HR people saying, I have to deal with this. And I'm like, oh, well, if you have to deal with something, you're going into it with sort of a negative connotation. So maybe instead of dealing with it, you know, this is a learning experience for everybody involved, just different ways to say it. Also, too, HR can impact culture by, I think, giving back. A lot of companies that are great places to work and one of Fortune's best companies to work for do a lot of giving back to the community, giving back to their employees. So just finding ways to give back to the community. Another thing, office design, I think that really impacts the way people work. And I think as HR, even though we're not interior designers, we know what we like. Right? So maybe office design, getting rid of cubicles, there's a lot you can do there. Creating values. Values give the company purpose and they give the company structure. So maybe helping design values and a purpose or mission statement. So I think those are like key components that HR can help.
Stephanie, just to kind of keep going down that lane, where in the company culture does the company who cares play into it? The whole philanthropy, the corporate, you know, social responsibility. For you, kind of where does that play into the importance of company culture?
I think it's huge. I think from for so many standpoints. I think that if you are dealing with disengaged and uninspired employees, one way to get inspired is to help others. You'll hear a lot of people say that when they come back from, you know, from helping others, they feel re-energized and they feel better about their job. Now I forgot the question. What was the question?
Where kind of the, you know, where the philanthropy kind of force, I call it forced philanthropy, so I'm going to kind of play the devil's advocate here. Forced philanthropy plays into culture, right?
Okay, yeah. Well, if it's forced philanthropy, then I guess it's not really, that's the whole, kind of mitigates the intention, I guess, of that, or takes away from that. But, I, like, for example, the great story that I read today, I read Smallbox. They do a NICE grant. So basically what ended up happening was the CEO gave the employees $5,000 and he was like, hey, spend it however you want. And instead of having like a huge party or doing something for themselves, the employees came up with this idea to donate grants to people in the community that were trying to do things. So they give $1,000. They don't ask, you know, they give $1,000. They just want to know, keep updated on the companies, but it's a no strings attached grant for them to better the community. And the employees came up with that. So, I mean, if you think about that, like the company is hiring great people and they were given money that they could have spent on themselves. They could have bought their new Macs. They could have, you know, spent it on themselves. And instead they chose to do something for the community. So I don't know how forced that philanthropy can really, you know, how needs to be. If I was given money, I might just go spend it on myself. So, yeah.
Do Stephanie, put on your hat and your magic wand and look into the future. What does culture, business culture especially, what does it look like, work culture look like in 10 years, maybe even 15 years?
Work culture is all about internal branding, and it's all about the people. So I just, again, I'm going to go back to, I think that we're going to see less marketing of the products and more communities of ambassadors. So I just think that if you take care of your employees, you don't have to spend so much money on your marketing strategy because your employees are going to do it for you. And guess what? They're probably going to do it better than your marketing team. Sorry, marketing people, don't hate me. But they're probably going to do it better than your marketing people because they're on the front lines. They know the product. They're the ones fielding any customer concerns. And they're the ones that are just basically going out there. They're already on social media. They're on Instagram. They're on Vine. They're promoting themselves. Why not have them promote your company as well? So I do think that we're going to see a kind of a segue away from, like, the PR, the marketing, even the HR, and we're going to go more towards employees being the brand ambassadors for the companies.
Nice.
That's my magic wand, also.
I like that. That's nice, actually. The relationship that culture has with HR tech, and I mean current relationship, is there anything HR tech-wise that you see that people use, et cetera, to either measure culture? Because you know the game. HR is going to need something to help them prove, quote-unquote, an ROI for culture. And again, not arguing whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's going to be what happens. So is there anything that you see out there in the marketplace from a technology that helps enable that discussion?
No. I'm not really a numbers person. Gary Vaynerchuk, and I probably just slaughtered his last name, but Gary V on social media, I love his thing. He says saying hello doesn't have an ROI, right? It's all about relationships. But I feel like that's like what culture is. I feel like if you need to put an ROI or if you need to put a bottom line on your culture, I understand budgets and things like that. But if you need to really sit down and, you know, look at your profit and loss statement and try to figure out how much culture is costing you, I don't think that you are in the right business to be developing culture, or you're not so great place to work. I think in terms of technology like that, I'm not a numbers person anyways. I'm a words person. So I don't really know of any technology.
What's your take on culture versus cultures, plural? Like inside of a company, there's kind of been a thought that's been batted around. There's no such thing as a culture. There are, if you have 80 different offices, there's at least 80 different cultures, et cetera. Like, just what's your general take on that whole argument?
I think it's awesome. I think that's awesome if you have culture within culture, because then you're going to get more creative and more innovative ideas. If everybody was doing the same thing, then you don't get creativity, right? I think that one of the biggest ways to, I guess, help control culture, I don't know, would be to give your employees values. So if your employees know what your value, for example, most of the great places to work that I feature and that I research have value statements, and most of the employees could recite the value statements like it was, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance. So the employees have the values and they have the cultures within the culture, they are making decisions for your company on your company's behalf with your values in mind. So I'm trying to think of a good value. Let's go back to Zappos, for example, deliver the happiness. So the employees with the culture within the culture, they run into a challenging customer or, you know, they're doing something IT related and they don't know how to do the user interface. Well, they know deliver the happiness. So they need to make it easy. They need to make it fun. And they need to make people happy. So I think that cultures within cultures can be a good thing. It can be, like I said, lead to innovative creativity. If you're giving employees guiding values, then it shouldn't be too far out of line with what your company already believes.
Nice. So take the hat off. Take the hat off and throw that damn wand down.
Do I get to keep my magic wand? Dang it.
Okay. No. Well, you can pick it back up, but throw it down for the sake of the next question.
Okay.
So, you hear the term currency, and I'm a big fan of that. What's the currency in marketing? What's the currency in media? All those things. So, what do you feel futurism here? The currency of the future is going to be in the workplace, person to person.
Social media. Currency of person to person. I feel like we're all going to stare at our phones and then text each other via our text messages on our phones. No, person to person, I think it's kind of we're able to build our own communities outside of the workforce and the job. And we're able to maybe interact with people we like more.
Okay.
In terms of currency, person to person, I feel like it's going to be more
Okay. Well, we are, Stephanie, we are out of time. And actually, I think Stephanie dropped, William. I see that now. So she might have been done.
I tell you what, I love Brian. I know you do too. I love her blog, and I love her stuff on Instagram and on Twitter. So those that aren't following her, make sure you follow her because she writes really, really well. Has a really, really interesting fresh take.
Hey, Stephanie, glad to have you back. We have about 30 seconds left.
Okay.
Hey, that happened. So where can folks? William's just kind of get plugging you. So am I around. Check her out. So HR Tech. Where can people find you? We got about 30 seconds, so rock and roll.
All right. Well, I think that if you are looking for an awesome job or your company needs some help in the corporate culture department, there we go, then holla at your HR chick because I know what all the great companies are doing and I can definitely help you out getting into a cool company or help you develop your corporate culture so that it is better than what it was yesterday.
Sweet. HR Chick, great talking with you. Excellent. Have a great Monday. Guess what, folks? We're out of here. California.